time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 10 minutes 47 seconds, with a station break at 5 minutes 50 seconds. Short pauses for Echo Link and All-Star Timer resets occur approximately every 2 minutes 50 seconds.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 94, posted on August 12th, 2023. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, sitting in for Will Rogers for a few weeks. Back when you were in high school or college, did you ever almost buy a used car until you realized its AM radio was missing? If American auto manufacturers have their way, that AM radio, 530 to 1705 kHz, would be persona non grata in future cars. But would that be such a good idea? Last time we shared part of a conversation Rain founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, recently had with Ben Cobb, AK4AV, a longtime writer and editor of the FCC Tech News. In part one of that conversation with Ben, he talked about the Shortwave Modernization Coalition petition that, if passed, could present interference to several of the HF ham bands. Partway through that conversation, Ben changed gears to talk about AM radios being removed from future cars.
Well, Hap, I'd like to turn from shortwave radio to terrestrial radio and a couple of interesting developments there. One is the controversy over retaining AM receivers in vehicles. It's been in the news a lot. Electric vehicle manufacturers, several of them, have said they're dropping AM radio from their cars primarily because of interference from the electric motor into the receiver. Also, as a whole, the manufacturers have been pretty frank that they feel their target market for their cars are not interested in AM radio. They have other sources of audio content in the car, FM radio, satellite radio, podcasts, streaming, and so on. They just do not see the need for the additional expense of putting an AM radio in the car. This greatly upset congressional representatives on both sides of the aisle. There is legislation proposed to require that AM receivers be kept in the vehicle. Of course, millions of people do still listen to AM radio, especially in the rural markets, agriculture markets, the smaller communities. AM radio is still very popular. But there is an additional reason to keep AM radio, at least for the short to medium term, possibly the long term. And that has to do with a situation that we hope will never occur. And that situation is a regional or national level disaster. This could be a military attack or an eruption on the sun, an electromagnetic pulse weapon, anything that might disrupt electric power and communications across the country for long periods. In this situation, there will not be your cellular mobile phone. It's not going to have power to run that network for very long. Won't be power to run the TV or even to pump water or pump fuel. We're talking about a very serious situation. In this case, conventional AM and FM broadcasting will be off the air. There is a sort of last-ditch radio network that's part of the Emergency Alert System, EAS. This is called the National Public Warning System, NPWS. Probably most Americans don't know it exists, but the federal government has been funding this for quite a few years now. NPWS consists of 77 stations, mostly AM stations, across the country that were chosen for their locations and their ability to serve large geographic areas. Most of the U.S. is covered by NPWS stations, and FEMA has equipped these stations with special facilities that enable them to stay on the air for months after all other broadcasting is shut down. The NPWS stations have fuel, generators, satellite links, complete studios with automation. They have their own transmitters so that if the main transmitter of the commercial station is destroyed by some type of attack or electromagnetic pulse or solar disruption, the NPWS facilities are protected against many of these kinds of insults, and they can go on the air with their own studios, automation, transmitters, and remain on the air. They're equipped with food, human facilities, place to sleep, and operators can get in, close the door to the outside world, and continue broadcasting official messages from Washington or from local and state officials if they can get to these facilities, which are at the transmitter site. So that's NPWS, and it's a good reason to keep some sort of AM radio on hand. If there's no electrical power, still millions of Americans will have an AM receiver in the car powered by the car battery and will be able to tune in for some period of time. There's also crank-powered radios, there's battery-powered radios, and keeping an AM radio just in case. Better to have it and not need it, rather than need it and not have it. On the FM side, there is a fascinating area also that many Americans may not be aware of, and that's LPFM, low-power FM broadcasting. There's about 2,000 LPFM stations on the air. You're in the state of Illinois, there's about 40 of these LPFM stations operating in your state.
You're listening to the thoughts of Ben Cobb, AK4AV. We'll conclude this excerpt from a summer 2023 Hap Holly KC9RP interview with this longtime technical writer after station ID. This is the Rain Hamcast podcast number 94 for August 12th, 2023. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. We'll be right back.
Now, LPFM stations are entirely non-commercial. They're not allowed to broadcast advertising, but they are permitted to take donations, underwriting, support, and they can acknowledge that support on the air with special messages. The FCC has very strict rules about how those acknowledgments are worded so that the stations don't get off track and start competing with commercial stations. So, if you're tired of corporate radio and public radio, I recommend tuning in to LPFM stations in your community. You can find them on a website, which is lpfm.us, a site operated by a ham, lpfm.us. There's also lpfmdatabase.com, which is a very thorough listing of those LPFM stations and their status at any time, whether they're on the air, off the air, and where they're located by state, lpfmdatabase.com. It's extremely rare to have an opportunity to get one of these licenses, and the FCC is in fact opening a window for applications for these licenses in November of this year. It's a week-long opportunity, and anyone interested in operating an LPFM radio station should absolutely take note, because these opportunities do not come very often at all. Maybe this could be the last opportunity to get an LPFM license. So there's a website set up to help people do that. It's lpfmresources.com, and I highly recommend educating yourself if you're interested. You'll have to find a transmitter site that is correctly spaced in both frequency and geography from existing stations, so you won't interfere with them. You'll have to specify a transmitter and studios and identify, create, or find an existing nonprofit organization to be the licensee. LPFMresources.com. LPFM is a pretty exciting area, and most of these stations do stream online, so you can listen to them over the internet even if you are not within FM range. One more thing about LPFM, there are periodic national conferences for people interested in it. The next one is coming up in October. This is called the Grassroots Radio Conference. It'll be in Charleston, West Virginia. So anyone interested should attend the GRC conference. I want to come back to one more thing before we go. Go back to this concept of emergency communications. The law requires every few years the government to do a national test of the emergency alert system and wireless emergency alerts on your phone. That's going to come up later this year. It takes only a few seconds, but these alerts will ping the phones of every American if the phone is on. And the test will come over radio and TV. This is called the National Periodic Test. It's not an occasion to be alarmed or disturbed. It is a test of the system, which Congress has directed be performed in order to keep it working. And the FCC and FEMA collect very valuable information about whether these emergency communication networks are working. So look out for that. On the phone, I believe the actual header will say National Emergency Message. And even if you have tests turned off in your phone, there is a setting for that. Because this is a live test to the public, you will still receive it even if you have selected tests off in your phone. So it's a great thing. We hope the national emergency message will never be sent in an actual national emergency. But again, this is a useful test to our national authorities, and it should reach every American later this year.
And that concludes an excerpt from a summer 2023 conversation with longtime technical writer and editor Ben Cobb, AK4AV, who spoke with Rain's Hap Holly KC9RP earlier this summer. Rain founder Hap Holly KC9RP edits and produces this bi-weekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support via PayPal and feedback on therainreport.com are appreciated. Copyright 1985-2023 Rain, all rights reserved. Rain Hamcast podcast number 95 will post on August 29th, 2023. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. Keep on hamming.